The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
So today we lit the candle, and thank you to the Smith family for doing that, lighting the candle and reminding us that this is a Sunday of hope. And so today we are going to talk about hope. What is hope? They say a person can go 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, and 1 second without hope. But yet we look in this world and we see so many things that are going around our world today. And many of us are thinking, it's hopeless. We live in a hopeless world. Let's just look at some of the things that have happened in the last couple of months. On October 1st, a gunman opened fire on a concert in Las Vegas, killing 59 people, injuring 441. November 5th, a gunman opened fire on a church in Texas, killing 27, injuring 20. November 11th, a group of people opened fire on a mosque in Egypt, killing 235, injuring 109. And it's leaving us wondering what this world is coming to, leaving us almost feeling hopeless in this world. Many of us might feel hopeless because maybe the economy, or maybe our health, or maybe the financial struggles that we have, or maybe because the loved ones around us are not there anymore. And so we're in despair, and we might be hopeless. When I was a youth pastor way back when, makes me feel old when I say that. But when I was a youth pastor, I coached a basketball team. And in this basketball team, I had to make a couple of cuts. And there was this girl on this junior high basketball team that came in, and I, in learning about her right away and talking to her, I kind of found out that she really had a bad home life, and she struggled in life. But I kind of felt like early on that she really needs this team right now. It takes her away from home, and it gets her mind occupied on something else. And so I knew that there would probably be some struggles if I allowed her to come onto the team and not to cut her. But I was willing to take that risk. And there were some struggles. But that entire basketball season, I just loved on her. And I celebrated with her as she made a couple of points and as she got a little bit better. But I did hear it from some of the other parents of why I would allow someone like her to make the basketball team. I was disappointed to hear several years ago and read an article that in her life, she got to a place of despair and she took her own life. She got to a place where she was hopeless. You see, we face that many times. We see that too often of people in despair, people who have no hope, people who are struggling. A biblical and Christian definition for hope says this: a longing for something good accompanied by confident expectation that God will act. It's a good definition. But I like this definition of hope better. Jesus. Amen. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our definition for hope. You see, when we put our hope in the things of this world, when we put our hope in other things like politics or like money or like fame or health or maybe even loved ones, we might get to a point where we feel hopeless. Because at one time or another, all of those things might let us down. But if we put our hope in Jesus, we will always have hope, and that hope will continue to go even no matter what is going to happen in our world today, no matter what this world is going to come through. And let's be truthful here. If we read the end of the Bible in Revelation, we see that it's only going to get worse. But I don't know about you, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Jesus. And when we keep our focus on him, and when we keep our hope in him, our hope will always be there. And our hope will never go away. People were hopeless and in despair in Bethlehem the time when Jesus was born. They looked around and there were this small town about 5 miles away from this mega Jerusalem who basically had power over them. They ruled over them. No one really cared about little Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was basically at the mercy of big Jerusalem. And so there were many people who were hopeless because their kings of Jerusalem would rule them and use them for anything they wanted to do. And they felt hopeless. They were so small and they couldn't measure up to something that was so big. A couple of years later, I also coached a junior high basketball team. And on this team, one day, and this was we were in a small school. And so right before we were about to play this other team, I kind of did the coachy thing. And I looked over and saw their team warming up. And when I saw their other team warming up, I noticed that they had this giant of a player. And this player was good. Could dribble, could shoot. And as a coach, I have to admit, I felt hopeless. We weren't going to win that day. Because they were too big. We had nothing to stop them. So there was this kid who was sitting on the bench next to me, and this kid noticed. And this kid turned to me and said, "Hey, coach, I noticed that player is scoring a lot of points." So I thought, coaching moment here. This is a time to encourage and motivate, to teach. So I said, "Hey, do you know what I usually do whenever there was someone who I was playing against who scored a lot of points?" And he was like, what did you do? And I said, "I guarded them." And I didn't just guard them, but I was all over them. I didn't care about the other four people. I only cared about them. Wherever he went, I went. Wherever he went, if he jumped, I jumped. If he fell on the floor, I fell on the floor. I didn't care about anybody else. I only cared about him. I was on him like white on rice. And I looked over at him and I said, "Now, why don't you go in there and guard him and do the same?" And he said, "No, coach, I'm good right here." A failing moment. But on that bench, he felt the same as I felt. He felt hopeless. That's how Bethlehem felt, this little Bethlehem, this little town amongst this big city. But yet, Bethlehem saw hope. In Micah 5, Micah was this prophet, basically giving Bethlehem, this little town, hope. 750 years before Christ, this is what Micah said. He said, out of the little town of Bethlehem, a king will be born. One who will not only rule over Israel, but over the whole world. Micah says that the great and powerful Jerusalem will be no match for this king. You see, Micah gave hope to the hopeless, but the truth is, Micah brought Jesus to them. And out of this little town, Jesus was born to bring hope to the world. So our hope is found in Jesus. We don't put our hope on all of these other things in this world. We put our hope on Christ. This month, our memory verse comes to us from Romans 15, 13. If you have your Bible, turn with me to that. Romans 15, 13. For the next several weeks, we are going to focus on this verse. We're going to memorize it and we're going to focus on it. It's a powerful verse. Here, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. The church in Rome was a fairly new church-ish at the time. It was an interesting church because the church in Rome was kind of made up of some Jews and also some Gentiles. And Jews and Gentiles were kind of butting heads at the time. Jews would tell the Gentiles that, hey, our God is not your God. If you want to worship our God, you have to be a Jew. You have to obey by our rules. You have to do the things that we do. Our God doesn't love you Gentiles. And for many of the Gentiles, they felt hopeless because they wanted to love this God, but people around them would tell them, this God is not for them. But Paul here, we're going to start in verse 12. Paul writes to the Gentiles and he says, and again, Isaiah says, this is coming from Isaiah 11, chapter 10. Again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. We know what he's talking about. He's talking about whom here? Jesus. Jesus will spring up. He will arise over and rule over the nations. In Jesus, the Gentiles will have hope. You see, Paul is bringing Jesus to these Gentiles and saying, you want to have hope? Guess what? I have hope for you. It's formed like a man who is flesh and blood like us. He was born and he was born to die for you and me. This is our hope, that Jesus came to die for you. Our hope is found in Jesus. And then he goes on to say, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I picked this verse because the power that's in the verse. But also in this verse, it talks about all the different things around the Advent candle. The Advent candle that we lit today was a candle of hope. Next week is the candle of peace. And then the candle of joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as we trust in him. Maybe the first things first, if we truly want to have hope, we stop and we trust in the Lord that his ways are better than ours. And we trust in what God is going to do. And then it leads us, love candle and then the candle of Christ as we light this on Christmas Eve. You see, Christ is the center. And because of Christ, we're able to have hope and peace and joy and love. He gives us all of that. So let's say this together one more time. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may have the Holy Spirit by the power. Sorry, I messed that up. I was reading two different versions. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when two different versions come together. That you may have hope. I love the word overflow there. That you may overflow with hope. Not just have a little hope. Not just have a tiny bit in there, but the hope of Jesus will bubble out of you, will overflow onto all the other things around you, all the other people. So because of your own hope, other people around you see that hope and know that they could also have hope in Jesus. It is overflowing. The overflow of the hope. We can have by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is powerful. And we need the Holy Spirit to come and to be alive in us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will find hope. We will find joy. We will find peace. Our hope is in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Maybe today you need this new birth of living hope to surround you. Maybe some of you today are in despair. Maybe some of you today are struggling with depression. Maybe some of you today are hopeless. Maybe because of something at work. Maybe because of your health failing. Maybe because of the finances that surround you. You say, I feel hopeless. And the truth is, any of us would if we put our hope in those things. But I put my hope in someone who is bigger and greater than any of those things. I put my hope in Jesus, which means when we look at this world and when we see horrible things happen in this world, my hope is set on Jesus. And because of him, I will always have hope. Always have hope. There were a time in our life right after we had Peyton and then we had Titus. And for the next two that we had miscarriages and we lost the baby. And there was a point where we could have felt hopeless. But the entire time, during that time, we felt God was leading us to hope. And God was calling hope and speaking hope over our family and over our life. And I knew, I just knew that God was going to provide. That God wanted us to have another child. And for some reason, I knew that God wanted us to have a girl. I didn't know how. I just knew. We didn't even find out what the gender was going to be of the last one. But yet I knew. when you're pregnant, you always hear all the people around you say all the things like, oh, I see how you're carrying, or I see how it's going to be, that's going to be a boy. And I'm thinking to myself, nope, it's going to be a girl. I just know it. And when she was born, right away they said, it's a girl. And I said, I know. But that's why for her, we wanted to name her Autumn Janie. But then because of the season that we are in, we added a second middle name to her. Autumn Janie Hope Alf. It was the hope of God given to us to say, I will provide. I will bless you. I know you've been going through a tough time of two miscarriages in a year's time. But there is hope. And we had hope. So no matter what you are going through, I want you to know there is hope found in Jesus. And so, like I said, maybe some of you are in despair or are struggling in life, and you're in need of hope this morning. My prayer is for each and every one of you to find hope no matter what you are going through in life, because you find Jesus. And as we come to the table, and as we break bread together and have communion together, I want you to come forward. And as you remember the body that was broken for you, the blood that was poured out for you, as you remember the death of Christ, I pray that his hope will overflow you. And that hope will just come bubbling out. And you will know this morning that you are loved, and you find hope in that love. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him.